This is the Fantasy Road Show.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Road Show with your boys here. My name is Truck, and I'm joined, as always, by Shane O'Mac. And today we're talking Week 10, red light, green light, players we like, players we don't like, all that fun stuff. But you guys know the drill. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel, follow us on all social media. Shane, can you believe we're at Week 10 already? Like,
no.
Fantasy season's almost over. We got a couple weeks left before playoffs. Like, it's just, it's been flying by, man.
It's crazy. It's sad in a way. You know, the Sunday afternoons are long, but the weeks are short, or well, I don't know what to say. It's something like that. It goes by way too fast.
Yes, absolutely does. Week 9 was crazy. Saquon Barkley with that insane highlight, that backwards hurdle. That one I will never forget. I think I'll be telling my kids about that one.
That was great. Jackson kept saying, he's like, all right, now when are they going to put that move on Madden so I can use it in Madden?
I mean, if they do, it's going to be one that Saquon is the only one that can do it. And it's going to be one of his special moves. That would be insane. Like a spin move and jump in the middle of it or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyway, there's been a lot of other stuff happening. Dennis Allen is the first coach fired after 9 weeks of football. A lot of people are talking in Chicago about Matt Eberflus being the second. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, Robert Sala.
Oh, yes, of course. Like Robert Sala first. Was the first one. Seems like so long ago that I almost forgot about it. So yeah. Dennis Allen's second coach fired. But, yeah, what are your thoughts?
I don't think it changes anything. I'm trying to look. I saw some odds of who the next one was going to be.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Like, I don't see.
I feel like Vrabel fits good with the Saints.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know if I see any more in season firings though. Like, Dallas is not going to do that in season. That is just not Jerry's MO. I have a feeling they'll let Eberflus play out the year.
I think they will too. That's where I'm at. I'm pretty sure that's signed, sealed, and delivered. He's done after the end of the year.
Yeah.
A lot of people in Chicago are talking about Ryan Poles is on the hot seat now with a lot of his moves in question and stuff. But we'll talk about that another time. That's not neither here nor there right now. But a couple of big injuries so far. We saw AJ Brown leave with an injury, Drake London leave with an injury, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott. Do you have any updates on what's going on with those guys?
So, Drake London is being listed as day-to-day. It's a hip pointer for whatever that's worth. So I think what I had read is it's going to be more of a pain tolerance issue. Mm-hmm. So I expect him probably to play. AJ Brown, not as bad, no structural damage. Maybe what I had saw was a knee contusion. So they think he could have a shot to play against Dallas in Week 10. And then speaking of Dallas, two big ones. So the Dak Prescott is hamstring. He had described it as like something he had never experienced. So it sounds like a partial tear, at least multiple weeks. They are talking about IR as a possibility. So that would be 4 weeks that he would be out of commission. And then CeeDee Lamb, AC joint strain, and it's not been determined if it's a grade level 1 or grade level 2, which means that I think 2 is the worst, and he would be more out 2 to 4 weeks, and a 1 is like, you know, he might be able to play this week.
Yeah, I had an AC joint back in my football years. One of the injuries I occurred was an AC joint, and it is so painful. Like to the point where you can hardly raise your arm over your head. Like, okay. I have a pretty good pain tolerance. Obviously, I'm not an NFL player, but AC joints are no joke, man. Those injuries hurt. So hopefully CeeDee Lamb gets back on the field, but tough sledding, man. Are you going to watch these Cowboy games these next couple weeks without Dak and CeeDee? What's your opinion now? I mean, do you have any, like, you're just now looking forward to next year?
I'm looking forward to now. It is a try to get in the top 10 draft picks. area. So in the best path to that, in my mind, is start Trey Lance. There's no reason to roll out Cooper Rush, but I'm sure they will. But
yeah, you guys traded a fourth round pick for Lance. Might as well see what he's got, right?
Won't remind me of that boneheaded move. That was so bad. But
I'm kind of in the same spot with the Bears. We know that there's no hope for this year. Way too many problems. And I feel like the Bears are going to win enough games to where we don't have a great pick. And, you know, this week we're at home against the Patriots. Should win that game. Should be a bounce for Chicago. But it's just fire is burning pretty bad.
So speaking of that real quick, because I didn't see an update on this. Did Caleb Williams get hurt on the last play of the game? I saw something about an ankle.
Yes, yeah, he did, but it doesn't seem to be too serious. I think he'll be good to go this next week, but we'll see more reports after the doctor checks him out and stuff. But as of right now, I'm not too worried about the ankle for Caleb. So, but yeah, overall, crazy week 9. Let's get into week 10. Let's start talking about red light, green light. Let's start with quarterbacks, of course. Shane, who is your red light quarterback of the week for week 10?
So I'm going with first guy I'm going with is guy. He's been a top 10 guy, 2 out of the last 4 games.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. He is a go pick him up guy. He'll be somebody that if available, you should pick him up, but you should not start him this week. And that's Drake May. And you just talked about it. Patriots at Chicago, as bad as that game was for Chicago. And I watched a lot of it because I rolled out Kyler Murray in a couple leagues.
Yeah.
They shut him down. I mean, they held him, I think it was like 150 yards throwing. They didn't give up any rushing to him. And that's May's big part of his fantasy finishes.
He had like 90 something yards last week.
Yeah, 95 yards last week. You know, 2 weeks before that, he was at 68 yards.
Yeah.
So I think this is just Chicago does a good job on quarterbacks and receivers.
Yes. Yes, they do. That's the one thing they do. They do well is, of course, monsters in the midway. Chicago defense stepping up. I like that pick. Drake May is not a streamer this week, although he's been playing good. My red light quarterback of the week is quarterback 3 on the season. The quarterback 3 on the season. That's Jaden Daniels. Okay. Like Jaden Daniels playing Pittsburgh this week. We all know how good Pittsburgh is, but let's talk about Jaden for a second. His last 4 healthy games, because he had that one where he left with an injury with the rib injury. He's been quarterback 11 or worse. So he's like right on the bubble of being that startable quarterback that you want in your average 12 team league. And he's only had one game where he's thrown over 300 yards. So it's not like, yes, he's QB3 on the season. A lot of it is coming from this rushing, but Pittsburgh is such a good defense that I think they could stop him. They're giving up the 2nd fewest points to quarterbacks and the 5th fewest touchdowns overall. So, they also have 10 interceptions, which is the 3rd most on the year. And I did a little bit of digging. The Pittsburgh Steelers have not given up a quarterback to finish in the top 12 all year. Every quarterback that they've faced has finished outside the top 12. So for me, if I have Jaden Daniels, I'm happy I have him, but I'm hoping to look elsewhere this week, as I think it's going to be a tough game for him against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, as long as TJ Watt is healthy and playing, that defense, they've been so stingy. Like this feels like a very low scoring game probably in that matchup.
Yes.
My other guy I'm sitting this week, and I mentioned it a little bit in the earlier when I was mentioning, is Kyler Murray. This is the 2nd setup I don't love for him. This week again, facing the Jets. The Jets have just been tough against the pass all year. They're allowing the 2nd fewest passing touchdowns per game. They're giving up less than 160 yards throwing a game. We just saw them hold C.J. Stroud to, I think it was 10 or 11 fantasy points. I don't care that this game is at home again. He's an avoid for me.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's just tough to trust him right now. I know you said you rolled him out in a couple leagues. You're going to be looking elsewhere this week.
By the way, how crazy was it in that game that it started hailing?
And that was wild. I mean, you're in Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I wonder if that's ever happened in a football game in Arizona. But yeah, that was wild. Crazy, crazy game. All right. Well, let's move over to green light quarterbacks. I'll start with this one. Instead of Jaden, if I have this guy in the waiver wire on my bench, I'm plugging him in. That's Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold coming off one of his better games that he's had this year, not his best, but one of his better, 290 yards, three touchdowns. He did throw a couple picks, but it was a wacky game. Most importantly, he has TJ Hockenson back in the fold. So TJ Hockenson helps him out a lot. And Jacksonville is one of the best matchups you can have as quarterbacks. I think they're giving up the most touchdowns to quarterbacks and the second most yards, over 23 fantasy points per game. You know, Sam Darnold and the Vikings won last week against the Colts, and I think they're going to win this week against Jacksonville. And I think Darnold's going to be in my starting lineup for sure.
Yeah, this is a definitely everybody that's got Darnold starting this week, because I've got Darnold on my green light also. This is what I was doing when I was doing some digging. So here's the last four quarterbacks that have faced Jacksonville, right?
Oh, please.
It's Jalen Hurts just this week, who was the quarterback two. He had 30 fantasy points. Jordan Love the week before, I don't know if you remember this, but he hurt his groin and left the game, did not come back. But he still threw for 275 yards even before he left the game, which was quarter and a half, I think, left. And the week before that, Drake May was the QB7 against them. And then the week before that, Caleb Williams was the QB1 against them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember that week.
This is just sets up beautifully for a Darnold great game.
Yeah, it really does, man. Darnold might be my green light of the week. My most confident green light play so far as I'm going through these notes. But, yeah, I love Darnold against Jacksonville. It's in Jacksonville, but I think Vikings are going to roll them. So,
yeah.
Did you have any other green light quarterbacks you wanted to mention?
Everyone's starting him, but this more of a DFS play. Like if you've got to pay a little bit up, I'd go Joe Burrow versus that Ravens defense. I mean,
oh, of course.
Early in the year, you know, he put up 30, I think it was 35 fantasy points. You know how bad the Ravens are against the pass. So in DFS, that's a play. That would be a position I'm paying up a little bit more to get Burrow in there.
Yeah, I can't wait for that game. Cincinnati, yeah. Baltimore, Thursday night football. This episode will be out on Thursday, so it'll be tonight. I'm very excited about the game. I'm going to be rooting for the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they can surprise everyone and beat the Baltimore Ravens. As of right now, it looks like the highest over-under of the week, 52.5. So Baltimore favored by 6. Okay. Anyway, I love that game. Can't wait for it. Let's move on to running backs. Shane, red light running backs, who are you pumping the brakes on? Who's going to have a bad week this week?
I am recommending actually to sit a guy who just finished week 9 as a top 5 running back.
Whoa.
And I don't remember if you remember what I said last week, like what is the free checkmark space when you're doing start sits? And that's running backs against the Ravens. And I don't care that Zach Moss is not playing again this week. And I don't care that Chase Brown had 27 touches in a game.
He killed it, man. He looked great. Really good.
He was really good. This just Ravens defense against the run is just no joke. They are allowing less than 75 yards per game rushing.
Mm-hmm. Question for you. Do you think after that performance from Chase Brown that he's like, other running backs that were in ambiguous backfields, but now are kind of getting the bulk of it. Do you think his role is now, hey, he's the 1A, but like by quite a bit?
Yes. And it was so weird because the wording that came out after the game was Zach Moss out indefinitely, you know, not like in a time frame. They just said we'll probably be out indefinitely with a neck injury. But even if he wasn't injured, I think the way Brown has looked, he is established as the dominant number one.
Yeah, he's much more explosive. He looks really good out there carrying and catching the football. So happy for him. And, I agree. He's a tough play this week against Baltimore. You don't want to play them. My red light running back of the week is coming off his best game of the season. Somebody who I recommended playing last week as a green light running back, and that's Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard taking on the Chargers this week. Tough game for Tony Pollard. He did have 128 yards and 28 carries last week with his best game of the season. The Chargers have only given up one rushing touchdown on the entire season. And the second fewest points per game to running back. So tough matchup. The Titans seem to be leaning on Pollard with Rudolph at quarterback. And I just think this is a bad, bad game for Tennessee. It's in LA. It's just going to be ugly with the Chargers suffocating defense. And I think Pollard's going to be a bad play this week. So,
yeah, I agree that defense is good. And I think there's a chance that they go back to Will Levis, shockingly enough. But I think he's going to be healthy enough, and it wouldn't be surprised if they go back.
Yeah, either way, it's just bad news for Pollard and the Titans. So, yeah. Okay, green light. Or did you have any more red lights before?
Real quick, yeah. The other, yeah, real quick, I want to mention Rico Dowdle. He finished as a top 10 running back week 9. But there's just way too much. There's two defenses. Like, you can't just look at the stats and say, okay, this defense on the year is this. Like, there's two defenses in the last 6 weeks that have dramatically changed their course. And one of them is the Eagles. This Eagles defense has been really good over the last three games. Like, second fewest rushing yards allowed. Like, under 65 yards rushing allowed in the last three. That's better than the Baltimore Ravens over that span. Also, J.K. Dobbins. I'm not sure I like that matchup. We just saw the Titans defense hold Ramondre Stevenson to 16 yards rushing. They've done that before, held people in check rushing. Dobbins, if it wasn't for I think he had a 30-yard run or something, his day wouldn't have looked that great minus the touchdown. So I'd be a little nervous on Dobbins.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that game in general, just two good defenses, lowest over under the week at 37.5. Yep. Just an ugly game all around. I don't want any pieces in that game in my starting lineup. So, all right, green light running backs. I'll go ahead and kick it off. My green light running back in four of the last five games, he has 16 or more carries. Just like we talked about Chase Brown, he is taking the job in this backfield, and that's Tyrone Tracy. Tyrone Tracy for the Giants. Giants are kind of a dumpster fire right now, but you got some good shining pieces. One of them is Tyrone Tracy. And we talk about it every week. Who's playing the Carolina Panthers? And this week, it's the New York Giants. So Tyrone Tracy is a smash play this week. Carolina's given up the most yards, most touchdowns, the most everything. They're just a terrible run defense. And Tyrone Tracy, I mean, he has just been dominating the touches. You hardly see Devin Singletary anymore on that field. He's like five carries, six carries, and Tyrone's at like 16, 17, 18, 19 carries. So I love Tyrone Tracy this week, and he should be in your starting lineup ahead of Tony Pollard.
Shakalaka!
Hey, now.
Yeah, it's you mentioned it. Like, the touches, like last week, he out-touched Singletary 17-6 in that game. So he is – and it's just the eye test, right? When you watch it, he looks so much better than Singletary. So much more explosive, just much better. And like we talked about, Baltimore on sits is the free step. Like you said, like Carolina is the free check mark you get when you have a running back facing them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love Tyrone Tracy this week. Green light, do you have any others before?
Yeah, my other second green light is Najee Harris. This Washington defense has not been great against the run over their last three games. Like, giving up, I think it's like 155 yards rushing. And Harris has quietly had like three straight top running back finishes. And even that was with a couple games with Jaylen Warren back. He's averaged 20 rushes over the last two games. So we're not seeing at least what I had thought when Jaylen Warren would be back. I thought we'd see more of a 60-40, maybe even 55-45 split, but Harris is still getting a lot of rushes. And that offense is, you know, I didn't think it would be this way, but they have looked better with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, they have, and I completely agree. He just seems like a different running back right now. Najee is just running with a full head of steam, and he's running downhill. So love to see it. Think he has a good week this week as well. So let's move on to wide receivers. Shane, who are you pumping the brakes on? Who's a red light wide receiver for week 10?
God, get this guy. I can't figure him out. I'm glad I really don't have him in a lot of leagues to try to figure out when to start him or when not to start him. But I'm not starting him this week, and that's Marvin Harrison Jr. And, you know, it's the matchup against the Jets and Sauce Gardner. You know, for the most part, they've been pretty good against number one wide receivers, like third fewest fantasy points allowed. And then, you know, Harrison Jr., he's just, you don't know what you're getting. Like, two out of his last three games, he's been under five fantasy points in PPR scoring. Under five.
Yeah, it's not like hot and cold. It's like hot and ice cold. Like, yeah, he's in an ice bath. Wide receiver 59, wide receiver 57, wide receiver 71. Even has a goose egg in there with two targets. Like, only three games over 45 yards. It's terrible. And like, yeah, hats off to Coles, because he called him a bust early on in the offseason. And it's looking that way right now. Do I think he's going to end up being a bust in the NFL? No. I think he's too good of a wide receiver for this to continue. But right now, you cannot have him in your starting lineup. And that sucks, because you drafted him in the first or second round of the draft during draft season. So, yeah, Jets are a really good defense, and they're going to shut down Marvin. Probably going to have another week where he's wide receiver 60. Yeah, and that's just the reality of it. So,
yeah,
that's tough. But that was my red light as well. So definitely do not play Marvin Harrison this week.
And then my other red light is going to be a guy, and this may be tough for some of you based off of what he has done in the last 3 weeks, which has been really good, but I'd be hesitant starting George Pickens. And I mentioned earlier, there are a couple of defenses that have really changed their course recently. And Washington is one of those defenses against the pass. Over the last three games.
Full 180.
Last three games, I was looking up, they allow under 120 yards passing per game in their last three games. It is crazy what is happening on that defense. And they don't even have standout corners or anything. I mean, they're ones shopping for it. But, I mean, I was looking at over the last 3 weeks when I mentioned that. So here is what's happened. So we had Neighbors, who had no catches in the first half. He got some in the second half to end up as a wide receiver 24. DJ Moore the week before was wide receiver 71. The week before that, Deontay Johnson, one catch, 17 yards. It's been a very stingy Washington secondary.
Yeah, and it's almost like, when as a defense, when you realize you got a guy at quarterback, you start playing up to that level where you can kind of trust the other side of the ball a little bit more. Early on in the season, you don't know if he's a guy or not. And then, you know, as the season progresses, they look like a great team. So defense starts stepping up. That's kind of my impression of it all. But yeah, Washington's defense has been much better since the beginning of the season when they were somebody we targeted every week on who to start for wide receivers. So I love it. My green light wide receiver of the week is Brian Thomas Jr. Mm-hmm. Brian Thomas, this Jacksonville Jaguars is another dumpster fire. I was talking about Tyrone Tracy. Love him on a bad team. Brian Thomas Jr., love him on a bad team. He's playing Minnesota this week. And, recently he seems to be cooled off a bit. He was on an absolute tear from weeks 4 to 7. He had 3 top 10 finishes. He has a touchdown in 4 out of 6 weeks, but Minnesota's defense has been good, but they give up a lot to wide receivers. They're giving up the 4th most yards to wide receivers and the 5th most fantasy points to wide receivers. So to me, this seems like a game where Minnesota is going to go up and Trevor Lawrence is going to be slinging it down the field to Brian Thomas to try to keep them back in the game. So I like Brian Thomas this week. I think he's a good play.
Yeah. And what a complete change around. We thought we were going to lose him for multiple weeks before last week when the news came out. And then he was just back on a regular snap count. Yep. They target him in the red zone heavily. Like, he had a 2-point conversion on Sunday. He's a great play.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Who do you got?
My first
Jane O'Mac, shocker of the week.
I am going with a guy that's been, this may be the most quiet guy who scored double digit points in 3 straight games, and nobody's talking about him. And I think he is going to be, has a great game this week. And that's Khalil Shakir out of Buffalo. Like, I'm going to admit it. I dropped him earlier in the season. I'm regretting that now. I just thought there was too many mouths to feed there. And but like I said, double digit points in three straight games. Now we might get Amari Cooper back this week, but the inverse of that is they could be without Keon Coleman, who's battling a wrist injury. So I don't think either way, he's in a really good spot because of the opponent. He's playing out of the slot, obviously, and the Colts are bottom five in receiving yards allowed to the slot receiver this year. So I think that is going to be a game where Buffalo, this is like a, I think they win this by double digits easily. Big, big passing game for Josh Allen. And then I think Shakur gets in on the other end of it.
How dare you not use his show name? Little Shaker.
Little Shaker.
Little Shaker, okay? Khalil Shakir, I love the play. This, he might be one of my biggest calls of the offseason.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
trusting Little Shaker. I was beating that drum early on when you guys were telling me it was Curtis Samuel and, you know, Dalton Kincaid was going to be the number one target there. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, week one we saw it, and I think that's when I was kind of – it was confirmation for me that Little Shaker's here to stay. Yeah. And he's just a great weapon with Josh Allen. So I love that this week. I agree. I think the Bills roll, and Little Shaker's gonna be a great play this week. So I like that. What else you got?
Then the other guy I've got is Tank Dell. So I think, listen, I was pretty surprised, honestly, with his performance at the Jets last week. And I think he went for 6 for over 120. Now Nico Collins comes back this week, but honestly, I don't think that hurts him. Like, I think it could help him take a little bit of tension, off him. And this, as good as this Lions defense is against the run, like, they give up the third most fantasy points to wide receivers. Forget what happened last week for the, on the Packer side of things. That was just a complete monsoon rain mess that none of the passing game was going to succeed. So I think this could be a pretty big game for Dell this week in a high-scoring game against the Lions.
I agree. Did you see any news? I saw something about Nico Collins. Did you get that report that came in?
What I had seen even before the games were they were targeting a Week 10 return for him, but I hadn't seen any update for sure. That, at least that's when he could come off the IR. Now, that doesn't always mean it'll be the first game back, but
yeah, I see the report. Now we'll continue to evaluate him throughout the week and see where it goes. So not much of an update there, but eligible to return from IR. That's definitely noteworthy. So, all right. I like it. Let's move on to tight ends. Tell me who your red light tight end of the week is. Mine is a no brainer and you can go ahead and start.
Okay. I don't know if we agreed on this one, but mine is, Sam Laporta. Listen, a couple things I don't like. A, Jameson Williams is coming back. Now, he's not a heavy target volume guy, but it is some targets that Laporta was getting that he was going to have taken away. I mean, when I was looking, I looked up the two games with Jameson Williams suspended. He only got, I think it was 5 and 4 targets. So it's not like his target volume went up, and now Williams is back. Texans, one of the tougher matchups against tight ends. I think they give up the least amount of points to tight ends this year. So it might be time to consider other streaming options over Laporta.
Yeah, that's not who I have, but you're absolutely right. I mean, what a fall from grace for Sam Laporta. Like, I thought early on, I'm like, all right, this is just, you know, a stretch of the season where he's just not there. I think he's had like one good game, maybe two good games, but I don't know what happened.
I think, honestly, I watch a lot of their games because I've got a lot of like Montgomery and Gibbs, and a lot of times in the red zone, they're running it. Like against Green Bay, they had like a 4th and 2 and they ran it, and he was a touchdown from like 10 yards out. Like,
well, you have the best running back duo in the league.
Yes, I agree.
The best running game in the league. So why not do it, you know?
Yep.
But like last year, Laporta was catching 40 yard touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. Wide open down the field, so I don't know what happened, but it makes you second guess that drafting tight ends early is the right move. My red light tight end is someone I wrote down before I talked to you about Dak Prescott, and that's Jake Ferguson. Jake Ferguson, 4 out of 6 games, he's been a top 10 tight end. He's taking on Philly this week. He's at 18 targets the last 2 weeks. I mean, most importantly, Dak Prescott's not going to play. Okay.
Yeah.
Get Ferg out of your lineup before all hell breaks loose. I know CeeDee Lamb is probably not going to play, and Ferg is like, hey, maybe he's going to be the only one catching passes out there. But Philly is just really, really good lately. They're giving up the second fewest points to tight ends and have yet to give up a touchdown all year. You know who hasn't scored a touchdown all year, even with Dak Prescott?
Jake Ferguson. Jake Ferguson.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm done with Ferg. If Dak Prescott's on the IR, especially done with Ferg right now, but this is a bad matchup.
Yeah, I think you're right. People will think, oh, if Lamb doesn't play, they'll be like, well, Ferguson's just going to be this heavy target volume. But we don't have any history to go off of with Cooper Rush and Jake Ferguson. I mean, like, it was years ago before Ferguson was there is when Cooper Rush played five games. And you just don't know what that's going to look like.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's finish it off with some green light tight ends. Who are you playing this week instead of Sam Laporta, instead of Jake Ferguson? Who are you plugging in?
So my new little like thing is going to be for this green light section. I'm going to bring you guys a streaming waiver wire option each week.
I love it.
Because I think we're in today's tight end landscape. That's where a lot of us are at. We're like, okay, we just got to go week to week, streaming. And I don't think a lot of people are even thinking about this guy. But when I was looking some stuff up, I was a little bit surprised. And that's Jonnu Smith in Miami. And I just was looking. And when I looked, I saw over the last 4 weeks, his targets were 8, 7, 6, and 6 in each game. That's more than Laporta. That's more than Dalton Kincaid. Two out of his last 3 games, he's been a top 12 tight end. Like, they are – watching their games, they're manufacturing touches with him, easy touches, like a lot of tight end bubble screens, just easy catches where it's not, he doesn't have, he's not going down the field a lot, but if you're in a PPR league, it's easy way for him to get, to that 8 point, floor total.
Yeah. Jonnu Smith, he looks good too. I mean, he was catching a lot of balls last week. I had Jalen Waddle. I was really hoping he had a good game, but didn't just catch a pass until like the fourth quarter. So, but yeah, I like where you're at with that. I think moving forward, our green light tight ends should be streamers. Same thing with our quarterbacks. It's one of those positions where you're usually only rostering one, maybe two. But if you need to sub in, you got to go hit the waiver wire. So something to look at, something to think about for future episodes, but I like where your head's at. I am going to green light someone because you have been having them on your red light list the last couple of weeks. Dalton Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid? Oh, yeah, please. Dalton Kincaid. We got to try something because he's killing
Daltonian,
me.
Daltonian Kincaid, as Coles likes to call him. Look, I get it. Like I said, he's been a red light tight end. He's been bad lately. Last few weeks, 6 weeks, 5, 3 games, he's been tight end 19 or worse. Only 2 touchdowns on the year. But I have a feeling there's going to be a bounce back game for him. Now, if you look at targets, right? Don't look at his production because it's been bad. But if you look at his opportunities, his targets, at least 6+ targets in the last 6 games consecutively. He had 10 targets last week. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm looking at as opportunity. And then you combine that with Indianapolis giving up the 3rd most points to tight ends and the most receptions to tight ends. They're giving up the single most receptions on the season to tight ends. Combine that with the most targets that he's seen all year and 10 last week. I think Dalton Kincaid bounces back this week. I think he has a big game against Indianapolis. As we were talking, Baltimore or Buffalo is going to be rolling. So I think Kincaid's going to be a part of that.
Yeah, please, please. You don't know how how close I was last 2 weeks at a couple of leagues of dropping him and picking up some guy because I was getting frustrated. But you're right.
You don't
right.
want to do that. Look, no. He's on one of the better teams in the NFL. The Buffalo Bills are a wagon right now. Yeah. And whether you like it or not, I mean, he is seeing targets.
Yeah,
like he is a main part of that offense. So you're going to have weeks where you're not happy that you started him. He's going to be hot and cold. But I think this week is going to be a week that you should start him with confidence because I think he's going to have a good week.
Yep.
So.
All right.
You already did your green light tight end.
Yes.
You did. Okay. John so we're Smith. All good. That is the red light, green lights for week 10. We appreciate you guys watching. We appreciate you guys listening. I've had a little bit of an issue posting the podcast. I'm not sure why For all you audio listeners out there dealing with some account issues, I'm not sure. I got to look into that and make some calls. But podcast available on all platforms. Thank you for watching. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. Check us out on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Every morning, answering your last minute start set questions. Come hang out with the boys, talk some football. I'm going to be talking bets. We're going to be talking the slate, what we like in each game and for that fun stuff. Shane, have a good week, and I'll see you on Sunday. Everybody else out there, buckle up.
Buckle up.